Great news, humans. If you're a fan of proper English, or if you're just someone who is looking to improve your grammar, you can now hear more than 600 archived episodes of Grammar Girl ad-free, plus monthly bonus episodes exclusively on Stitcher Premium. Grammar Girl provides short, friendly tips to improve your writing, pique your curiosity about the English language. Whether English is your first, second, or third language, I'm going to say fourth. Grammar Girl's punctuation, style, and business tips will make you a better and more successful writer. Go to StitcherPremium.com/grammar. Use the offer code IMPROV for a free month of Stitcher Premium. Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is I always say me. What's happening? Is this a different show? Who's on the show today? Mr. Paul F. Tompkins. I have you as a mister on my email, and it always throws me off because I...
Because you're not used to respecting me?
You're the only one that makes me call him mister on email.
I make you.
Doctor, I'd understand.
Well, that is because that's my profile, my email profile. Mm-hmm. And it caused me a problem because it's also that way in my own contacts. And so when I got my Lyft account, my first name is – it only knows me as Mister.
And you missed her.
You cannot change it. And so getting into a car and they're like, are you Mister? I'm like, yeah, I'm Mister.
I'm Dr. Mister. Mister, Mister. Seth Morris, just good old Seth Morris.
Just down to earth. Salt of the
earth. No doctors, that's no misters, right. No esquires.
That's right.
Enough said.
Janet Varney, Ms.
That's right.
Is that good?
That's right. Okay. Maybe I'll change mine to Mr. Janet Varney.
But funny enough, our guest musician today is a saint.
Wow.
He has the ST in front of his name. How many saints do you guys ever meet? Never, probably. Have you ever met a saint, any of you guys?
I mean, I was very religious when I was a child. I was deeply Catholic, mm-hmm. and I felt like the saints were my friends sometimes.
Oh.
To be honest, I was raised on my mom's side in the Mormon religion, so we're all saints.
That's oh,
Latter-day
is that true?
Saints situation. Well, Latter-day.
Humble brag.
Yeah. It's Latter-day. It's Latter-day.
We're talking about
to
original
qualify,
saints.
Yeah. It's late saints. Tardy saints.
We're talking about today's
reboot
saints.
Saints.
That's right.
Saint Lennox, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dude, I'm such a big fan of your music, and soon our listeners will be as well. We've had good singer-songwriters on the show. We've had people with amazing voices on the show. But, dude, you're more than those two things. You have a very unique sound, and I'm so excited to hear it and share it with the I4H universe. And I think you know the format of our show. We're going to listen to a song of yours. Then we're going to do one or two scenes based on it. Sometimes we'll take a lyric and just launch right into a song, a scene. Sometimes we'll ask you about some lyrics. We'll say, what is this song about or what's this lyric about? So okay. what do you have for us first?
I'm working on a new record, and this is something that I have planned for that. It's called Hashtag Brooklyn Karaoke Party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Party from a friend in the Heights. He's got a house full of cats that he photographs. He's got the karaoke shakes, and he says there's a place where the boys sing songs you heard back in the day. And I dressed up in a long sleeve plaid that I saw in the window of a Brooklyn thrift store. But how do you wear something retro before it was cool? Before it was cool, yeah. Broken on the dance floor at the gay bar, singing songs about gin and whiskey. Heartbroken in the sad bar corner, singing songs about the boardwalks in New Jersey. Heartbroken by a sad Brooklyn man, singing songs from long ago. to play those golden oldies down in the office or the basement back then. And I sung a song from the Motown era about the mystery of love and smoke in your eyes. People back then used to work for the girl and work for the money and work for the honey. Heartbroken on the dance floor at the gay bar, singing songs about gin and whiskey. Heartbroken in the sad bar corner, singing songs about the boardwalks in New Jersey. Heartbroken by a sad Brooklyn man, singing songs from long ago. Yeah, sad Elvis poses was a thing of the past. Now pose for the mirror, pose, yeah. He did the mashed potato and a slick shimmy shake to the twist like this and the Charleston chew. He's got the seven chords dropping on the floor like a Corvette midlife crisis in a panic room. Heartbroken on the dance floor at the gay bar, singing songs about gin and whiskey. Heartbroken in the sad bar corner, singing songs about the boardwalks in New Jersey. Heartbroken by a sad Brooklyn man, singing songs from long ago.
Holy shit.
Wow.
He's got enough lyrics in that one song for other artists' whole album. Like, there's so much to unpack in that one song. So are there any karaoke? I'm not a karaoke. I love to sing, but that scene always intimidated me. Are there any faux pas that I should know about? I would imagine Paradise would be by the dashboard light.
You know, somebody told me that for real, actually. Like, you know the secret to karaoke? You choose a long song because you may not get up there again.
Don't people resent that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Life is fleeting. You have to make your own luck.
Yeah. Like, there's no way American Pie is on the list, right?
I'm sure it is. I mean, you can do it. Yeah. I know that and, like, Total Eclipse of the Heart or whatever. You're not supposed to do that either, right?
Is that a long song?
I think it's a long song, but it's also just a song that everyone does.
Right.
Oh. That's what I've been told. I don't do karaoke.
I would think
either,
respect
really.
Would be. Let's do a ranking, Andy. Do you have a top three you've heard? I would say Respect. What do you guys say?
Oh, to not
most,
do?
Most popular.
Oh, most popular.
Oh, stuff from Greece, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
There has to be at least
that
one.
That hit Bret Hart.
There's Suddenly Seymour's. So people do duets.
Oh, sure. I wonder regionally how it varies, like from city to city.
Yeah, people do local commercial jingles.
I'm not even thinking show tune when you said
that's
that.
That's for sure what I meant.
That would be, I would love that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in your local karaoke place, if they had all the jingles from when you were growing up.
Oh, that would be great.
You could just do a medley.
Yes.
People would, that would be huge. That would be huge.
All right, we cut to that.
Sam Levitz, Sam's the man to see.
Boom.
Thank you.
Boom.
What?
Whoa. NorCal in the house.
We want to be your car dealer at Sarah Monte Ford.
Yeah, take that.
Too long. If you've got a passion for fashion and you've got a craving for saving, take the wheel of your automobile and swing on down to Ideal. Wait, it's the spoken word part. It's nothing more than a Quonset hut.
588-4300 Empire. Oh my God.
You know that jingle?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Snoqualmie.
Me too.
What are the chances? Apparently 100%.
So welcome to couples therapy. Now, I think the what I'm hearing, the problem in your relationship might be, it sounds like there was a spark of passion that ignited it, but yeah. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot else going on in the relationships aside from this connection.
Greg, there was nothing after that. Nothing after really? That one moment Zero. Where we both realized we
I
were
I mean, were there furniture
the
store
place.
Commercials that you guys both watched?
Oh, we tried. Oh, we tried, believe me, we tried.
We tried so hard.
But, you know, it doesn't help that we're 20 years apart in age.
Yeah. Yeah, I like a younger man. I like a younger man.
So she knows a lot of commercials that I don't know and vice versa. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, here's my advice to you guys. Go out and find a new commercial.
Oh, I might be a little too old for that kind of activity.
Listen, no, I don't think you are. Listen.
We shouldn't just get divorced. Like, we got married immediately after that night at the karaoke place.
No, listen. I really think that we should do a couple more sessions. Don't get divorced yet. Go out and try to find a new commercial.
Are you trying to sell us a product?
All I'm saying is if you pay for 10 sessions right now, it'll cost you the
on their of on their way out of that session. Janet goes to the ladies' room while Paul is waiting in the lobby. Excuse me, hi, I'm the receptionist for the therapist. You're Susan.
Oh, hi.
We never talk, but
no,
I overhear a lot of the sessions, and I'm a big fan of 1-800-EMPIRE-2.
Are you really?
1-800-EMPIRE. It's something my uncle used to sing me to sleep with. I never knew the actual commercials, but it means something to me. My parents died in a motorcycle
Susan,
accident.
The hell are you doing out here? You get back over that reception desk. Get over there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You
He's clapping at me. I gotta go. But here's my number.
What? 1-888-2300. Empire.
1-888.
She lives. Does she work for the Empire Carpet Company?
She sneaks back out. I tried on purpose to get a number that would line up to
oh,
the Empire
because right.
I'm such a fan of it.
Sure.
But it still works.
Susan!
Oh, okay. I'm
get
on
over
my lunch
here.
Break. Later, that a couple is at home looking at TV trying to find something that they can jibe on again.
Well, what about this local college that's like an online thing?
A college
Nothing?
Jingle?
Yeah.
What have you got to lose?
Come to the South, my bread.
It wasn't bad until it ending.
I don't know what happens. Like that guy swallowed something large right as he was finishing
his song. They rewind
it
to try it again.
What have you got to lose?
Come to LaSalle.
And we see the LaSalle mascot's a little toad.
Ugh.
That actually makes it charming. Now that I realize it's a toad.
Look how wet he looks.
That's true. Toads are usually drier.
It's too
Frogs
accurate.
Frogs are wet. Toads are dry.
It's just too accurate. You know what I mean? It's like
they cut back to their next session where they're arguing over whether or not toads are wet or whether that
Listen,
was accurate.
I don't think it matters whether they're wet or dry. What matters is you guys had this experience that you both didn't like, but you both didn't like it.
I think that it matters how we perceive reality because my point is toads and frogs are both wet because they're amphibious. So, of course, if you could swim in the water and live on the land, well, you'd be a person as well. But if you could
or
exist
an otter
in both places,
or a beaver, I've
yeah,
said
okay.
so many. There are so many creatures that can do both.
How often
so
do you see
many
a dry otter?
Excuse
Every
me,
video,
I,
they're
I
always
brought
wet.
In some Susan! Waters for everyone.
God damn it!
Are you eyeballing my younger man husband?
I just thought you might be. I heard toads and frogs. I know they're both wet, so it made me think maybe you need some water.
Yeah, they are both wet. Mm. Yeah, that's right. Mm.
But how do the sprockets fit in? I know the toad is wet, and I know there's a sprocket involved.
Oh, the wet sprocket?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't believe I've established your name and not my own husband.
We cut, we cut to a lunch date between these two, a surreptitious, because she's cheating on her husband, and they're just talking about Toad the Wet Sprocket.
You'll forgive the disguise, I'm sure, but I have to.
I'm really okay with it. It's very sensual.
I shouldn't have ordered soup and worn a fake mustache, but anyway.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. So, you're a fan of the Santa Barbara alt Americana scene, huh?
Mm-hmm. Big time. It was kind of waffling between Santa Barbara and the hot Phoenix scene because I was into the Gin Blossoms for a while. But then I realized I just was an alcoholic and had a little red nose.
And we cut to 10 years later. She did indeed get a divorce and marry her therapist, but soon their relationship hit the rocks too and they found themselves in therapy. So it seems like after the connection with Toad the Wet Sprocket, and that wasn't really a band putting out new stuff.
Can I just acknowledge the elephant in the room? Susan, I want to say I'm very proud of how far you've come. I respect you. I apologize for some of my behavior in the past, and I appreciate you trying to help us.
You're welcome.
Susan, when you look at your old boss and you see that he still has soup trapped in his mustache from
I wanted to honor the early stages of our relationship.
It's disgusting.
Now is the time when you touch the monkey. Sorry, I heard you mention sprockets.
Get out of here, what? Reginald.
I thought I was allowed.
Wait a minute. Are you the toad from that college commercial?
Yes. If it hadn't rained today, you wouldn't even know.
Let's talk some more about that.
Toads, even they're not wet as frogs, they probably are
moist.
Moist, at least.
Even though they're not as wet as frogs.
That's what we learned.
I mean, frogs are soaking wet.
Are you going to find a frog in your backyard or only in a creek? Or are those toads in your backyard?
Oh, they're both. We used to live... I had a pool growing up. No big deal.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow.
But we lived at the end of a cul-de-sac, and there was a big...
Whoa!
But every spring, billions of toads and frogs would...
Billions.
Like, I'm telling you, friend. I would scoop up... My job was to scoop dead frogs out of the pool.
Whoa.
And I would
They would jump into the pool and then get killed by the chemicals?
Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't just drown. That'd be weird.
Some of them would
drown. I got confused for a second.
Yeah, some of them couldn't get out, though, because they couldn't get out of the pool. But I would, scoop.
Your pool had a lip. We get it. You were rich.
But it was a problem. I used to have nightmares about it, because sometimes you'd be running around barefoot in the summertime. You'd step on a frog.
Well, maybe your rich bitch parents should have sprung for an infinity pool.
Step on a frog. Break your mother's
log.
Dog.
Yeah.
Heartbroken on the dance floor at the gay bar. Sad bar corner, singing songs about the boardwalks in New Jersey.
Humans, I always assume that good humans are already listening to the good shows like Hollywood Handbook. But I get these promos, so you know, if you haven't checked it out, you gotta check out Sean and Hayes in not only one of the funniest shows, but one of the most unique. These guys have found their own brand of comedy. I don't even know what show to compare it to. That's how good and unique it is. So if you've never checked it out, Sean used to be a regular on this show, but I can never get him anymore because he writes every day during the week and they record on Saturday their own show. So I'm a huge fan of both these guys. Check it out, Hollywood Handbook. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app like Apple Podcasts or Stitcher.
Let's listen to another song.
St. Linux, what do you got for us next? Dear St. Linux.
I've got a different version of Thurgood Marshall to perform.
Oh, cool. Okay. I love this song.
Now a title of a man in the history of this great country. Alright, just add a mighty force to wash away the shameful sins of a dark chapter in the history of this fine land you see. Yeah, Thurgood Marshall, won't you help me out? Cause I've been slowly fading away this year. And Thurgood Marshall, won't you let me down? Cause I want to be inspired and mystified by the law. Like that. But Thurgood Marshall was a man so full of heart that made the law bow down and recognize the love and earnest respect is what this country is all about. I was a sad, lost student, lost in all the books piled in the corner of the library, a weary, caffeinated soldier of the big man. And just as Marshall reached out of the history books and spoke to me, cause those dead do rise again. Yes, sir, they still do rise again. Into brave young hearts. Hey, Thurgood Marshall, won't you help me out? Cause I've been slowly fading away this year. And Thurgood Marshall, don't you let me down. Cause I want to be inspired and mystified by the law.
Wow, that's one of my favorite songs ever. That's just, you guys got to go watch the video for that song too. It's a whole other, experience. Yeah. Wow. So we cut to a college library, in the same way that in the lyrics to the song that guy was the sad law student was summoning the spirit of Thurgood Marshall. We see a young English student frustrated with his English thesis, and he's in the H part of the fiction.
Fuck it, Ernest Hemingway, come to me. Ernest Hemingway, come to me.
Hey, you're on.
Oh. Where are you?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
It is you. It is true.
Yeah.
I'm stuck.
Did they put me in the right... Am I in the H part of the library? Sometimes these kids put me in the E part of the library. And I don't see any of my friends.
You only have H friends?
If I'm in the library, yeah. Who are your neighbors?
We're not alphabetized. I assumed all the spirits of the library just came out and partied and you could hang out.
No.
Fitzgerald.
It's very regimented. So
you're with Hawthorne and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, I don't need to talk to them.
What do you want? What do you need?
Okay, I'll try to make this quick. I am an English major, mm-hmm. and I'm working on my thesis. I'm not inspired, and I kind of feel like, I don't know, I kind of feel like writers are wusses these days.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
You're 100% right.
Well, I tried getting drunk, drinking whiskey, and mm-hmm. I just seem to get drunk more than inspired.
You want my advice?
Exactly.
Kill yourself.
Okay. I think you had success before that, though.
Hindsight is 20/20. If I hadn't killed myself, I would have just become another person that faded off into the sunset.
Is that true?
Absolutely, it's true. Absolutely, it's true.
That's your advice to me? Because I haven't really written anything yet.
Even better.
I was more hoping like you'd say, go to war, go to a war.
I mean, you could do
fight
that.
Bulls.
You could honestly, that it's so played out, the fighting bulls thing.
Is it?
Yes.
I think it could come back in. It might have. Okay.
Yeah. So I would suggest cut to the chase and suicide. That's my, I mean, you could try to channel some of the other spirits here.
Like who?
If you don't.
These jackasses put me in H again.
Who are you?
Hunter S. Thompson. What's going on? Couldn't help it over here.
You're a great. Oh, this is perfect.
You like smoking cigarettes?
I haven't tried, but I'll do that. I do blunts every once in a while.
Gotta smoke cigarettes. They're great for the writer.
Okay. I thought you were more about like psych. I know you smoked like.
Yeah, baby steps, buddy.
Right.
So you just told me you never smoked.
You were
going to
say some psychedelics.
Of what I was talking about, Hunter did his best work in the 70s and then just stayed a drug addled alcoholic and faded out into the end. And he was kind of, no offense, but you were kind of a pathetic figure the
Thanks,
last
buddy.
20
Wait a minute,
years.
Didn't you Thank kill you. Yourself too, though?
I mean.
With a shotgun? I forget.
I might have.
It was a gun. It was a handgun. Yeah.
But I thought it was a flamingo because I'd taken a lot of. LSD.
Yeah. You thought it was a flamingo?
Yeah, I thought it was killing myself with a flamingo.
Yeah.
Oh, but still, you're killing yourself.
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
But once again, you guys had a lot of success before that. You became famous and were toasted by Hollywood.
But what is one of the key things that people know us for?
I even forgot. I'm not even positive about Hunter S.
I wore a lot of Hawaiian
shirts. Didn't he have cancer or something?
He did, You killed yourself because you didn't want to suffer anymore with cancer.
But I don't have that. I'm in college. I'm in my 20s. Once again, I've barely written anything, mostly just poetry on assignment.
Well, I don't, you asked for advice.
Well, Hunter asked, besides smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, like, should I do psychedelics, go on a road trip?
I would.
I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Oh.
I don't know why somebody put me in this section. I'm Sylvia Plath.
Hey, oh, I don't know why you're here either.
On? Oh, stop
oh,
wait, it,
I know where this is going.
Stop it. As if you could even in the afterlife, I think you're just so.
I've never been able to get an
erection. You've never been able to
I've
get
never been able to get one.
Okay.
You're looking for some advice?
I did summon a lot of misogynists, didn't I? Okay, yes, please. But I think I know where this is going, but go ahead.
Where do you think it's going?
Are you going to tell me to kill myself?
Yes. Okay. You're very prescient. Yes. Are you passionate about your work?
I haven't even done it yet. I want to be. I said I needed some inspiration, not a marketing campaign for my...
Let's get back to these poems on assignment. Now, what was the last poem about that you were assigned?
Okay. I guess it was about... Are you mocking me?
Oh, no.
I saw you giggle.
No, but, I've lost 25% of my emotions, so just based on psychedelics alone.
It was about being away from my parents for the first time because I'm a freshman.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, wow.
Let's hear it.
Okay. This is kind of weird. I'm doing this for the legends. Okay. I did memorize it. Away. Away. What? What are you doing?
That's something in my throat.
Sounded like you were laughing. Okay, I'll start over. Away, away. No longer time to stay. with my parents.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't done.
Oh, really? Is this class, is the subtitle of this class called On the Nose?
I don't know what you're getting at. I only can just say the words I feel and...
Either that poem goes, or I do again.
Who are you?
Oscar Mr. Wilde!
What is wrong with these students?
I haven't the foggiest notion. Listen, if you want to be a truly wonderful writer, you must be imprisoned for bullshit reasons and die penniless and drunk.
Did you commit suicide?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if I did.
I thought it was syphilis in jail or something. But my original question was, how do I get inspired, Mr. Wilde?
Well.
I'm sorry my freshman poem was so crappy. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was terrible, but.
Have you considered living in an insanely repressive time?
This is what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, I can't time travel, but...
Ooh.
Wait a minute. I mean, this time is repressive.
Is it?
Yeah.
How are you repressed, dear boy?
As a straight white male, not at all. See my problem? In order for me to get experience, I gotta get drunk and fucking drive or hit someone.
Why don't you write a poem about... the limitations of being a straight white male in America.
Right.
How sad it is.
Right.
There are so many experiences that are denied you because you are the default person in society.
Yeah. Everything. It is hard and people don't get it.
Yes. You're angry. You're real angry about it.
Yes.
I am angry.
What's more infuriating than having all of society geared towards you?
Yeah, there's a lot of expectations on me to do well.
Precisely.
And it's not so easy. Like, no. How am I supposed to write without inspiration that's just handed to you on a platter if you're
that's
a minority
poem.
Or poor or sick?
Go. That's a poem. That's a poem.
Yeah, I can
you
write that
you just wrote
down.
A poem.
I am inspired. And what about all these immigrants? Their experience is just handed to them on a platter, whereas I'm born here.
Hemingway here. Keep going.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As you are a straight white male in America,
mm-hmm.
have you considered just appropriating someone else's style for your own?
Are you saying write about an experience that I don't have or write in the voice of someone with that experience?
I would say just take someone else's style that is born from their experience and just apply it to whatever bullshit you want to write.
Is that what you did?
I beg your pardon.
What do you think of that, Hunter?
I think it's everything starts from the outside and goes inward. I started with a weird hat, sunglasses, some stupid shirts, and some of my best writing came out of that. So I agree with Oscar. I agree with Oscar.
Ernest?
I still think you should kill yourself.
Let's talk some more about that song.
I've told that story about Ernest Hemingway, right, Brett? My dad met him weeks before he killed himself.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
Where? In Florida or something?
In Colorado.
Oh.
And we're certain he killed himself?
He shot himself with a shotgun.
No, I'm just saying. This is new information.
Oh, wait a minute. My Jewish dad killed him? That's what you're saying?
I'm saying your Jewish dad is a suspect in this case. There's no statute of limitations on murder, Jewish or not.
There's no statute of limitations on Jewish murder?
No, not anymore.
Wait, how did what were the circumstances?
Yeah, how'd they meet?
My dad was living in San Francisco. Someone that worked for Hemingway's publishers had he was like a lackey for he was like a gopher for Hemingway's publishers. Hemingway liked a certain kind of wine. He wanted a case of this wine. Nice. So my dad delivered a case of this special wine that Hemingway liked, drove it to wherever he was living in Colorado.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Thought he was going to just drop it on the doorstep, but Hemingway opened the door and invited my dad in to drink it, and they shot skeet off the back porch of Hemingway's
my God.
Holy shit.
House. And my dad, I'm making a really long story short, but my dad ended up eloping with his girlfriend and getting married, like, I think it was like a week later in Colorado, and got Hemingway to be his best
what?
Man.
What? Oh my God.
What?
Holy shit.
And we have that wine bottle with Hemingway's wow. autograph in our wow. basement growing up.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And my dad wanted to be a writer, so he made it happen. It wasn't just happen. Like, his friend knew that and was like, you can go deliver this to Hemingway. So he kind of made it happen.
And did he say – did he say anything – like, did he –
I'm going to kill myself in a week.
Did he seem, in retrospect, did your dad say he seemed depressed at all or anything
no,
like that?
No, I think I didn't get much of that, but it just sounds like he was a raging party and alcoholic.
Did he sound depressed? He just invited a perfect stranger and told him to get drunk with him and shoot guns. Sounded like a happy guy. Yeah. I love the idea that Hemingway is like, I might as well give this guy the whole show.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, now you said you're his girlfriend, but not your mom.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was my dad. It's my dad's been married twice. Or okay. Had been married twice. That was not a good first marriage.
Did your mom? Did your mom hate seeing that signed bottle of wine?
I never thought about that. That's funny. But Andy, let me ask you. What's the Aristotle line again? In that song?
I'm going to have to. Aristotle once said the law was reason free from passion, feeling, and emotion, or some other rich earth bullshit like that.
That's funny. And the line in your chorus, I want to be inspired and mystified by the law. What do you mean by that, mystified by it? That you want to be mystified by it?
Well, I think when people start out in law school, they have a sense of wonder and hope for what they're doing. A lot of people sort of intend to put it towards public interest work, but a lot of people end up going into a sort of big law, sort of making a lot of money. So it turns out well for them, but I think it can be a crushing experience. And so I think when I was writing this sort of in law school, I think I wanted something to kind of help retain that sense of hope, and I guess that's what that's about.
Yeah, that's an inspiring song. Okay, class, first day of law school. Put your law books. Everybody just put your law books down.
What?
Put them back in your backpacks. Put them off your desk.
It's so heavy.
That's right. Don't hurt yourself. That also happens the first day. People hurt their toes with their law books. But put them aside. There you go. Nope, no notes.
What?
No notes? No notes.
What the hell? I bought a notebook. What will I write with?
This is my favorite pencil.
I like that you brought your favorite pencil to my class, though. I respect that.
Thank you, sir.
Now, this is how I like to start out. It's like a vision board. How many of you here got into law to help people?
I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, let's go around on this round. So how did you envision using law to help people?
Well, I figure that there's a lot of people that, need help and that I could help them legally, Like they would have legal – they would need legal help. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I know legal stuff, so let me help.
Okay.
Like that.
That's a very general answer.
Is it?
Did you ever envision a type of person or a scenario that you would be helping, like you saw?
Yeah, I would see like a family. It would be like a mom and a dad and two kids, and everybody's clothes are tattered and holes in their shoes and stuff. And they all look like they haven't slept in weeks, and they have big bags under their eyes.
Okay.
And in my mind, they all have their arms around each other. You know, like the mom, the dad has his arm around the mom,
okay.
And then the mom around the taller kid, and then the littler kid. The kids are different heights.
Okay.
And then maybe there's like a. Sometimes I picture a dog that's real scruffy looking,
okay.
And
but no probably one, a mutt.
100% a mutt, and no one says it, but I think his name is Scraps.
Okay. But you didn't tell me how the law helps that poor family.
Oh, well, they're like, obviously, they're not doing great, right. And they need legal help. And so that's where I come in,
because
I'm a lawyer.
You didn't really think of a legal situation, but okay.
I was very specific about the family.
You were that. You want to help tattered.
The dad has glasses people. In his jacket pocket.
Okay. Well, at least there is a dad, and at least he has glasses. I've heard of some cases where a family has no dad, no glasses, and they've lost their dog.
I put it to you that a family can have glasses without a dad. And that's with no law books and no notes.
I like your debating style.
Thank you.
What about you? You also raised your hand.
Yes. I've always wanted to be kind of like a James Woods ponytail lawyer. Okay. It's more of the like, – I want to
some
stay
of you
up.
Are already using some law terms. If you – don't be afraid to show off any law terms you know.
I want
to
stay up late working through the night with some law students, some other people that are newer to the law, and I'm the kind of senior – person.
Oh, and you're inspiring them and telling them things to research
so you can
solve the case.
Yeah, and I really, it's exciting to me to, at the 11th hour, to late at night, to get an idea and say, the hat. Research about the hat or something like that.
Oh, like, I just have a little. Who makes these kind of hats?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then people get to work and they didn't know they had the energy, but because I
You've
had this.
Inspired little, them.
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
With the law.
Can you train us to be movie lawyers? Because I kind of want to be an Al Pacino blind lawyer.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to earn your blindness as a lawyer. You can't just hear the first day of law school say, oh, I want to be a blind lawyer. Okay? You have to earn that. All right. You're not going to be a blind lawyer in 2 years.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, sorry.
It takes many years of law education. Sure, you'll get a ponytail in 3 to 4 years. But to be a blind lawyer with a cane who you don't really know if he's blind or not because he has that sense of confidence and drive, that will take time. Throws book to the floor. What about you?
Why did you get to hold your book?
I am a professor.
Your Honor,
I'll accept.
I'd like to approach the bench.
Okay.
Some legal terms.
Several years ago.
Yeah, do not be afraid to show off these legal terms.
Sidebar.
Sustained.
Sustained. Sidebar. Several years ago.
Watch yourself,
counselor. Sorry, I'm feeling very emotional about. I read the book To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, we all did. We all did.
You did?
I think that's what inspired us all to go to law school.
I saw the movie, but...
Okay, well,
I read the sequel where he ends up being racist.
what really I walked away with, what was so moving about that was that while it may be a biblical sin to kill a mockingbird.
That's
turns
not
out
in the book or the movie.
It
they don't
turns
actually
out.
Kill a mockingbird, do they?
It's my first day of law school, Your Honor. It turns out that mockingbirds are not protected by the law. And I just feel like I need an instrument of change.
Ooh,
you want to go into bird law? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, at least I don't want to go into ponytail law. Ponytails hardly need any help at all.
I beg your pardon. What are you talking about?
I might have misunderstood what you were saying.
You will never, ever, ever succeed in bird law. And those words echoed in her head. And despite that mean professor, she studied every night, even past her studies, looking into all the laws that affect birds.
We cut to her first case. Rah! I want a divorce. Rah! I want a divorce.
Arg, there's no way you can divorce me. You're
he
with me.
He constantly belittles me.
Until I die. Go over the plank.
My client has every right to divorce you. I'm working on some legislation right now.
That is not the law of the sea.
I should never have come onto this ship. We're in international waters.
Rah! You can do it. I believe in you.
Polly, why did you bring me out here? We could have done all of this in a court of law, and I could have had some power. But now I'm in the middle of who knows where.
So that she only had one night to prove her case, and late that night she's down where all the slaves row the boat with the oars. What's that? Is that the galley? And she's trying to inspire them to help them win the case.
I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, everyone. Think about it. Think about it.
This is our time to rest, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we have to row all day.
No,
and Rome was built by slaves, so this is not a great analogy.
Okay,
and
listen.
Can I switch sides with one of you
tomorrow? The pyramids were not built in a day.
Jesus.
The left side of my back is shredded. The right side of my back is... so soft. I just want to balance it out. I'm going to look weird at the beach.
Not me. Can it be somebody else this time? I feel like I'm like a...
Fine, know. Clark. It'll be somebody else.
Everyone knows I'm the guy who will switch, and I'm just sick of it.
Sorry.
We're not... But guys, by the way, you have it pretty sweet compared to some birds I know. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about.
Are you talking about things that can fly versus slaves?
Yeah. I am. Do you know what it's like to have a beak? That's rough stuff, buddy.
I guess I
but don't. If you were born with it, why is it rough? I mean, if somebody slapped a beak on me right now, I'd be like, what the fuck? But
and then everyone you know has a beak.
Guys, yeah. Listen to what she's saying, though. I mean, even when we get our meals, they take the chains off and we can use our hands to eat with. But if we were birds, it'd be like only being able to use your mouth.
Well, I didn't think about it that way.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'll allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, as I said in the Hunter S. Thompson case, flamingos don't kill people. People kill people. And I got that flamingo off.
And then I got that flamingo off. And the speech that she had rehearsed with the galley slave is now being done in front of the pirate tribunal. Tribunal.
And so, Your Honors, in closing...
Arg, arg.
I would just like to say...
Arg, arg.
Arg,
arg.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. If you try sometimes, you just might find. E pluribus unum. Mea culpa. Thank you.
Arr, Jody Mitchell, 'tis true.
Gavel, gavel, gavel.
And Thurgood Marshall, don't you let me down. 'Cause I want to be inspired and mystified by the law.
Humans in July, right after July 4th, July 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. I'm going to be in Colorado with my 1 hour of stand-up comedy. It's over an hour, folks. I got some songs there, too. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be in Fort Collins on the 5th. On July 6th, I'll be in Denver on the 7th. I'll be in Colorado Springs on the 8th. I'll be in Boulder. Go to mattbester.com for more info on that.
Let's listen to another song.
Oh, my gosh, St. Linux, do we deserve another song? What do you have for us, dear sir?
This is off the last album. It's called The Public School System.
Ooh. Oh, my God, I love this. And this chorus that he's about to sing, my daughter sings along in this car, and it cracks me up.
When you crushed on those daydreams in the library. But see, lately, he's an old man now. Over the years, and count the seconds with linoleum tiles.
and pick up your day when the lunch lady smiles, but she doesn't know what's been going on. Yeah, I had a bad day, and you're not better than me, rich kid, and you're not better than me, and you're not better than me, rich kid. Say a prayer before the test today, but Joe says that there is no God. That's how it is. Cool kids in the parking lot. I heard that Joe just got a beat up old Ford pickup truck. Yeah, she struts her stuff with a certain savoir faire. Nerves with cafeteria green and drop in the margins with your pencil, and we don't believe in the government. Down with the man, and you're not better than me, rich kid, and you're not better than me, and you're not better than me, rich kid. Is burned into my memory still. Yeah, just over 15 years ago. Lately I heard that Joe's a construction man in Pennsylvania. I saw a picture of him fat and happy once. Yeah, old rumors and reflections pass. Did you hear the one about the toilet affair that the English teacher had with the librarian? She never smiled with that sparkle again, yeah. Young love from a long time ago. Crushed by the years, and you're not better than me, rich kid. And you're not better than me. And you're
So who's the rich kid? Like the public school kids? Were there kids in your life that would taunt you for being from a public school? Like, where's that sentiment come from?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I do know. So when I was in middle school, my parents took me to visit a private school. This is when I was living in Cincinnati, and I think we just didn't end up going there. But I remember sort of it being so nice there. But I guess so moving back to Iowa and sort of being in public school, I guess I just loved it so much that I can't really picture sort of people sort of not liking it sort of in comparison to something else. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just went on a tour. Or we've been going on tours for my 4.5-year-old. Yeah, we went to some of the nicer private schools, which we can't even afford, but they're crazy. They're like, because we're looking at kindergartens, and they look like my college campus. And you can't deny, like, they're taking you around it, trying to impress you. But I'm like, in my head the whole time, I'm overly, like, too impressed. Like, I didn't have this shit. That's my thought bubble the whole time is like, this is crazy, this room I'm being introduced to. Why do kids need a kindergartner, need all this?
Yeah.
I went to Catholic school, but it wasn't in my memory, there was nothing fancy about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have...
Oh, it was private Catholic?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it costs a lot of money, and my parents were working class people, and they put us all through Catholic school, 12 years each, 6 kids.
Wow.
And when I think about it, it's not like we didn't have a pool. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't...
Seth had a pool.
With lips. Yeah. Big Jagger lips.
A pool with lips. But we had a sports field, you know what I mean? But it was not – when I think about the amenities of the school, there was nothing special. So in my memory, I didn't have – I don't remember ever thinking about what is it like at the public school versus what the experience I was having now, because the only thing that was really different about it was we had to dress up and religion, you know, and that was it. But I don't remember any kind of, it was not like what you'd see in a movie of a private school, you know, where it's like rolling hills or whatever. We were just like stuck in the middle of the suburbs and that was it.
So we see a tour of one of these private school kindergartens. And as we step into this room, this is the science lab that the kindergartners will be working in.
I'm sorry, science lab?
Yes, it's a high quality. We've had Jenna Elfman donated $1 million this year.
The Jenna Elfman?
Yeah, Elfman.
No, but you have other...
Oddly enough, Danny Elfman of the same family and famous composer, he also donated $14 million to our sandbox outside.
What about Bodie Elfman? Anything from him or...
Which one's that? Sorry, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you must have other grades here, right? It's not just kindergarten because this lab is like a professional laboratory.
And there's an espresso bar in the corner. I don't know why kids need espresso. Yeah,
they
but...
don't. That's for the teachers and any parents that might be visiting. And sometimes we'll have scientists come in here and give lectures to the kindergartners. And they are very – don't get me wrong. They're very child – like we're working on a – string theory right now, and they're starting out just playing with strings. See,
okay.
But it's a good first step to learning what string theory is.
I mean, we didn't have string when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Up. We didn't have string.
And sometimes we'll use colored yarn if they get bored with a white string.
Wow.
Or a black string. We'll bring in some colored yarn, and the scientists will describe string theory, and they'll pick up. You'll be amazed what they pick up, and soon they're shouting string theories on the playground.
I don't know. This sounds like our child could become a threat to us very quickly.
Could you excuse us for just one moment?
Okay, just walk around the room if you have any questions.
Sure. Okay, we'll just go over these.
Should we do the espresso?
Yeah, let's
get a quick espresso. Okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
Are you here?
You have to undo that latch or it's just going to steam.
Okay, thank you. Let's get the espressos after the talk.
That's a really good idea.
Okay. This place is insanely expensive.
It's so expensive.
And it's more than kindergartners need. And I think he's bullshitting us.
Like, some of this doesn't sound true to me at all. And I don't know if it's just because we're jaded and...
Hello, my name is Tommy.
Oh, hi, Tommy.
Hi, you little whippersnapper.
Hi. Look, I'm making a black hole.
Oh. Is that string?
Yes, out of string. I'm dipping it in black ink and then rubbing it on a paper, and this is how we learn about black holes.
Okay, so
next year we'll be able to really make one.
Right. What is a black hole then, Tommy?
It's a void in space where all matter disappears and antimatter meets matter. I don't understand it so all the way, but I'm picking up stuff.
Tommy, would you excuse us for a moment?
Okay. See, that is terrifying to me. That's terrifying.
It's scary, but I gotta say, I'm surprised that he knew what a black hole was.
I'm not entirely sure that wasn't a teacher.
It's different than a wormhole.
Casey.
Okay, tell me. It's grown-up time now.
Let's look down at his feet. Are we sure that he's not a teacher on his knees, like a dwarf on golf kind of situation where there's his shoes?
His ankles are very thick.
Yeah, I don't. Hey, we're on to you, mister.
Are you yelling at one of my students?
We're yelling at one of your colleagues who's pretending to be a child.
Okay, I think you're what we call here overly impressed. Maybe the school isn't cut out for you. Maybe it's a bit more. You see what I'm saying here?
Maybe it's a bit more.
Than you need.
Oh, are you saying that our child is stupid?
Well, we do need to interview your child. That is part of the process.
All right, let's bring him in here.
He's right outside.
Let's bring him in here.
I don't know why I'm furious.
Caleb?
Yeah.
It's time for the interview.
Okay. Am I in trouble?
No, you're not in trouble.
No, we love you so much, kiddo.
We love you.
We like to make this a low-pressure situation. We don't want them to feel like they're auditioning.
We're very low-pressure.
Okay.
Do that. Just do that one quick song when you get a chance, honey.
It's not an audition, though.
Okay? We're going to go all the way tonight because tonight's the night.
Is that a disco song?
You know Meatloaf?
Oh, right. Okay.
It's Paradise Sevens. By the Dashboard Light.
We don't have time for that, okay? There are the kids that need. Caleb, what are your interests?
I like to play baseball, and I like to draw, and I like trucks.
Okay. You like to play baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how gravity works?
What?
How does gravity work?
There's the guy who had the apple tree and the apple fell on his head.
Not bad,
Pretty smart.
So what does that have to do with it? And what was that guy's name? Did you just whisper his name?
What? No.
It's not going to help if you whisper the answers because you're not going to be here.
Honey, do you want a Fig Newton?
Really
I brought some of those
stuff.
Fig Newtons for you. A Fig Newton from your little snack bag.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was asking him if he wanted a Fig Newton.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what we were doing.
Why are you staring at me so hard, Mom?
Just answer the question. Who had the apple? And I'll tell you what. If he answers this correctly,
Eve.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Ooh.
What?
Looks like you'll be going to a religious school.
What? Shit.
Oh,
we cut to science class at a religious school.
All right, so these geodes are found in various caves, and some of them are up to 6,000 years old.
Oh. Father Flanagan, somebody said that the Earth is older than 6,000 years that I've heard about.
I know who said that. Satan.
No, it was my friend.
Hmm? Your friend Satan?
No. My friend Willard, who goes to the private school, he said that there's a thing called carbon dating, and they've carbon dated some of these artifacts, and that they're much older than 6,000 years.
Listen, son. First of all, you go to a private school, right? We don't just let anybody in here.
Right.
Right? So there's no need to say he goes to the private school like that school is better than this school.
Oh, No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Okay. Well, that's what it sounded like. So.
I was asking my older brother about geodes last night. And he says that they're just rocks formed by the earth. They're not things that Jesus pooped out.
Oh, your older brother, the science teacher?
Yes.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, he's a science teacher at the local college.
Where? At the local LaSalle. College.
You know LaSalle.
At LaSalle College?
What's that?
What have you got to lose?
Father Flanagan, these heretics
go to
are...
LaSalle.
I'm starting to question myself, Father Flanagan. I'm starting to actually have questions. My mind is starting to question things and have ideas and thoughts. I'm scared.
Okay, the answer to any question you have is Jesus.
Oh, thank you.
Jesus said so.
Thank you.
Now, if you studied your Bible like you're supposed to, you would know that in Acts of the Apostles,
mm-hmm.
it clearly says that Jesus went into a cave.
Mm-hmm.
He said unto his disciples, I don't feel so good.
We've just been crucified, right?
That's right. He had just been crucified.
No one ever talks about what happened in the cave. He's in there 3 days. He must have pooped something.
The stone was rolled away. He comes out of the cave. He says, oop, hold on a second. I don't feel so good, guys. goes back into the cave. The apostles waited at a discreet distance. They talked loudly to make noise.
Oh, they knew he was pooping?
They had an idea.
Oh, okay.
So he comes back out and said, okay, let's get out of here.
Let's talk some more about that song.
What's the line about fat and happy? In that part of the song, you're talking about looking, remembering your public school years and thinking about people you'd gone to public school with. Yeah, is that what's going on there? What's that line?
It's, I saw a picture of him fat and happy once.
The construction guy, right?
Yeah.
Right. So someone you'd known as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting seeing what my high school friends are up to. We're actually having our 20th reunion this summer. I'm going back there and I'm going to see a bunch of people and see. I don't even know how to react to it.
Are you still in touch with anyone from high school?
Yeah. No, I'm, you know, friends with people on Facebook.
Right.
and we keep in touch. It's I'm curious to see what will happen when I go back for the reunion, but I just have no...
Have you gone to past reunions? Oh, sorry, Ben.
I have not.
So this will be your first one in 20 years.
Yes, this will be a big one.
That makes the most sense to be the first one to go to.
Don't go to your five. Don't
Why
go
would
to,
anyone
yeah.
do a Five's five-year crazy. Reunion?
Yeah. Things have changed.
So we see Janet nervously walking into her... Janet? Janet?
Hi, you.
It's Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Janet, we're in calculus class and trigonometry.
Yeah, no, of course I remember you.
You look so fat and happy.
Thank you. Like metaphorically?
Oh, it's just that I've been following everybody, having you on Facebook, and every time I see someone, it's just... really settled into accepting where they're in life. And, you know, you don't even care about how you look anymore. You just go, I can be fat now because I'm happy. I love to see that.
Oh, my God. Is that Janet?
It is.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Hey.
It's me, Ted. Ted from trigonometry class.
God, I took so many math classes. They all start to blur together.
I saw you across the room, and I was
Can you not?
I know, exactly.
Oh, okay.
You were so fat, and I thought, that looks like a cartoon of Janet.
Oh,
I gotta go over there.
Wow.
You look very fat and happy.
You look the fattest, happiest here.
Big smile and big rolls.
Wow.
I didn't think a smile could get bigger.
Wow. This is really something. I'm really here, and I'm really seeing you.
G-T-F-O, my gosh. You guys, it's me, Thandi.
Thandi!
Oh, Janet, we had triangles together.
I do remember that.
Oh, my God. Remember Mr. Markowitz?
Mr.
It's like we get
Markowitz.
It. 3 points.
Wow. Triangles.
From across the room, I thought there was like 9 people over here, but there's only 3.
Oh.
You look so fat. Can you believe how fat and happy she looks?
Gosh.
Oh, my God. You're like a female Santa Claus, a summertime Santa
Claus. You guys, this is a funny story, but I actually, right before I came in here, I was stung by several bees, and I'm actually allergic to them.
Were you trying to get the honey?
Janet,
I understand.
I'm swollen.
You're fat,
I'm actually going into anaphylactic shock. Does anyone have
you
an
don't
EpiPen?
Have to, you don't have to do this. We're not
I'm
jealous.
We're not jealous.
We're happy for you.
Even your tongue is fat. Look at the happy tongue.
What a fat tongue. Really
later in the reunion, where some people are out on the dance floor, and Janet is sneaking some snacks off the table. Because she is starving. Oh, there you are. Look how happy you are with the food. Janet, can you believe Thandi? She is so thin and sad, isn't she? When I see how thin she looks, You just know she's overcompensating for some sadness, huh?
She does seem really, really unhappy. Yeah, she seems really unhappy.
She is model thin.
She asked us, she actually said, why don't you nickname me Thindy instead of Thandy? And we were like, I think we choose the nicknames.
Yeah.
But don't you feel sorry for her, though?
She's so sad.
I guess I do. Does it make me look better?
It makes you look happier standing next to her. Is that what you're saying?
I feel terrible about her.
Maybe you can give her some advice. And she just seems so sad.
I feel the earth move under my feet. There's Janet. Hi. I felt you before I saw you.
Hi. Is it possible that
I'll leave you two alone.
Thank you. Paul? Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about killing yourself?
What?
I just want to cut right to the chase. I don't feel like we have time in this life to dance around facts.
I mean, if I've ever considered it, sometimes just the mundane things where I just feel like life
is against me, and I'm just like,
this is it? This is what that civilization has all worked up to this, where I'm in traffic for 2.5 hours each way to just try to make enough money to keep a little, barely make the rent? And do I think of the sweet
She eats more and more, and the pages of the calendar goes by, and we see her
eating. Oh, there's a breeze in here. Hold on. Let me just...
But then literally time goes by, and she gets fatter and fatter, and another 10 years roll by, and Janet's actually lost some weight at the 30th reunion, but once again, she's still nervous. She's actually fit into her prom dress when she is prom queen. And she thought it'd be fun to show it off. And she walks into the 30th reunion with all her lost weight. And now we see Thandy is there.
GTFO! Is that Janet?
Oh, hi, Thandy. Here I am. You seem very happy.
Oh, I'm so happy.
She looks like a giant toad.
Hello! I thought you'd be wetter.
No, that's a myth.
Oh, yeah. I bet it is.
Yeah, I'm not a frog.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Are you wearing your prom dress?
I am. I wasn't able to scrounge up the tiara, so I just put this daisy chain in my hair. But this is my original prom. This is my actual prom dress. This has been my life's goal for the last 20 years.
You're a grown woman, no?
I am.
That's...
With a beautiful teenager's
really
body.
Depressing. Sorry to say.
But
and she notices that everyone's really fat and happy now.
Thandy! Me too!
Hey, how's it going?
You look terrific! Yeah!
My dress still fits! My dress still fits!
Janet? She's getting crushed by her happy, fat friends.
My dress still fits!
Janet, let's hug you! Poor sad Janet!
Poor sad Janet!
She falls into the folds of the fat of her happy ex-classmates, falling down, down into the folds, deeper and deeper.
It's working! Let us absorb you, Janet. Please come with us, Janet.
Is this a black hole? Is this what a black hole is?
I don't know. I never went to kindergarten.
This has been Improv for Humans with St. Linux. Obviously, guys,
amazing.
You got to buy this guy's stuff. I bought a CD off of Amazon, which was a double CD, which had both your first two albums on it. I'd recommend that. What's it called, though? It's called 10 Songs About... The first one's called...
10 Songs About Memory and Hope, and the second one is 10 Hymns from My American Gothic.
Oh, guys, they're both so awesome. And what's the new one going to be called? I hope it's 10 songs about something.
I think I'm still working on it. I think it's going to be something like 10 songs about young ambition and passionate love.
Oh, I love it. And is there a place, is this St. Linux Google good enough, or is there a website we should go to?
St. Linux Google's, you'll see stuff pop up.
And it's one N, right?
One N. That's a lot of people.
Not like Linux Mass.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you guys? What do we got going on? Where should we tell Janet that we love her? We're on Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, you can go to @JanetVarney on Twitter, or I guess JanetVarney.com is the website I always forget to tell people about.
There you go. You got it. Paul?
PF Tompkins on Twitter and Instagram. And I have a podcast here on Earwolf called Spontanea Nation. Comes out every Monday.
What about that new one I keep reading about?
Oh, yeah. Good idea to plug that. it's called Freedom. It's me and Lauren Lapkus and Scott Aukerman. And it's nobody's doing characters. We are just sitting around having fun conversations.
Okay. And how many people are in it?
Three.
Okay. Seth?
At Seth is Morris, so Twitter and Instagram.
All right, guys. And let me think. I don't know exactly when this will come out, but I'm going to have my annual 420 show on April 20th.
Oh, shit.
Used to be Sunset. And I'm taking that same show on the road to Colorado in July. So I want to hear from my Colorado fans. It's the first time I'm taking a show out like that.
I also want to hear from Matt's Colorado fans.
Really?
Yeah.
It's enough to get him to talk to me. Okay, fine.
Then talk to both of us at the same time.
All right, all right. Keep being human.
Be a good human. Check out Matt Besser's new Patreon podcast called Professor Besser. Listen to Stolen Idea, Matt, Bobby and Brett's epic punk rock musical on Stitcher Premium, and tell your friends. Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about the best podcast in the universe. Check out Besser vs. The Audience on Stitcher Premium. This has been Improv for Humans.
And if you ever go on a trip again, I suggest you see my home.
Hey guys, unfortunately I have some bad news. My name is Hayes. I'm here with my friend Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean.
We're the hosts of Hollywood Handbook. They asked us to come onto the show and break the news to everyone that the show you were just listening to is unfortunately broken.
Yeah, it's really just one of those things. Every once in a while, a podcast fully breaks and you can't listen to it for a while. While it's under construction, sort of, you know, when they shut down the roads and there's like detour signs so that you can still get where you're going, even though it's not the way that you wanted to go. You can detour over to Hollywood Handbook, listen to our podcast instead, just until this podcast is fixed.
Our podcast is running, and I think the podcast you were listening to is going to be broken for about a year.
And honestly, when those detours happen, sometimes I find
you
a new
route. You discover, make new little discoveries.
A better route.
Yes, and find like a roadside diner that's so mm-hmm. interesting. The host of it are very smart. So listen to Hollywood Handbook. It's a guide to Hollywood, but it's not
it's
even
fake.
Really that
it
anymore.
Sucks.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.